All right, everybody, here we go again for another Tech Doctor podcast. And this is an exciting one on a couple different fronts. And I hope you don't mind me saying, Allison, we are recording on the very day of your birthday. So happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I could think of no better present than to be recording with you fine people today on the Tech Doctor podcast.
Aw, we're all sweetness and light today, aren't we?
Just today, though.
Just today. Only today. Well, today is going to be a lot of fun for us because we have with us once again Janet Ingber, who has recently released a new version of her, what I consider to be a very important and necessary book on using the Mac with VoiceOver. Janet, welcome back to the podcast. It's been a year or so, and take a moment, if you will, please, and tell anyone who doesn't know you a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. First of all, thank you for having me back. Allison, happy birthday. I am Janet Ingber. I wrote in last year a book called Learn to Use the Mac with VoiceOver, a step-by-step guide, and it has come another year, another operating system. And so what I did was I updated the book. It's published by National Braille Press, and it has a new title. It's called Everything You Need to Know to Use the Mac with Yosemite and VoiceOver. A little bit of background about me. My day job, so to speak, is that I am a music therapist in New York, because that job, among other things, gives me my health insurance. And I also write for Access World, which is American Foundations for the Blind technology magazine. I am also part of the podcast team at How to Be Blind. And I love doing the tech stuff. To me, it's fascinating. And the assistive technology, especially on the Apple end, has just gotten so good.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you love doing the tech stuff, because it really comes across in this book that you do. And I want to start by talking about this title, Everything That You Need to Know About Using the Mac with Yosemite and VoiceOver. To me, that is a very bold, confident title. And I am so glad that it is, honestly, for a couple reasons. One, I think that it's true that you really do offer everything that someone needs to know to get started with using their Mac with VoiceOver. So that's excellent. But the second reason I particularly like this title is because the title itself to me kind of implies that the Mac isn't too complicated to learn everything you need to know from reading a book. And I'm hoping that maybe you and Allison will prove me wrong here and disagree with me, but I just have the impression that there are still far too many blind people who either believe the Mac is too complicated for them to learn, way more complicated than iOS, and or they believe that the Mac simply can't do for them what they can do using a Windows screen reader on a Windows machine. I'm curious to know, first of all, how you all feel about that. Janet, what are your thoughts about that?
First of all, I can't take credit for that title. That came from Diane Croft, who is the president, publisher of National Braille Press. I think for somebody, especially somebody coming from a Windows machine to a Mac, it might seem overwhelming. You're dealing with a new operating system, totally different commands, and these concepts like interacting, you know, what is that? And, you know, when do I use it? When do I not use it? So I think people just are, in some cases, afraid of using a new operating system that is basically totally different. But I will tell you, as far as screen reader support, in my opinion, VoiceOver has it way over anything, any Windows screen reader. And I know some JAWS people and Windows people are going to get mad at me. I am a Windows user. I still have a Windows computer at my music therapy job. But the beauty of the Mac, too, is that there are several ways to accomplish the same task. There's not only just one. And a lot of the gestures that you use in iOS on the iPad or the iPhone or the iPod Touch, a lot of those same gestures are used on the Mac, such as selecting by double tapping or flicking right or flicking left. They're used on the trackpad in the Mac. So, you know, it may seem, again, overwhelming at first, But my advice to everybody, whether you use my book, you find somebody that can do online classes with you, no matter what, don't try to do it all in a day. It is not possible. So just, you know, take your time. Some people keep their Windows machine while they are learning the Mac. I did that for a while. And then I just got so frustrated with dealing with the Windows machine. It's like, okay, I need to put this thing away and learn it. And it's one of the best decisions I have ever made.
So funny that you mentioned just eventually putting your Windows machine away and really sitting down and making yourself learn the Mac. I did the exact same thing 2 years ago, and I've never really looked back. Occasionally, I will need to install a virtual machine on my Mac here to do something specific that I need Windows for. But honestly, even that hasn't happened in about a year, and I've since taken the virtual machine off. I think you're right. There's definitely multiple ways to get things done. And what I really love about your book is you outline in really simple steps just how to do that. It's just you get to the meat of the thing, and you really demystify the Mac for a lot of people who, you're right, Robert, do kind of feel that it is too complicated. I see that on Twitter, especially all the time. Oh, I don't know if I would make the move to the Mac. It seems too complicated. Well, it's really not, for one thing. And number two, if you guys use this book, it will help you to do everything that you need to do on the Mac that you have been doing on Windows, a lot of times in somewhat similar ways, but it outlines the differences in a way that is friendly and not scary and just great.
The other thing that I put in there, referencing to what Allison was talking about, and I've done it several times, is you're not going to break your Mac. You know, if you interact with something and you shouldn't have been interacting with it, Mac's not going to crash. It takes a lot to crash a Mac. I mean, has it happened to me? Yeah, but so rarely. And even if it crashes, you're not going to do anything to it. Okay, it's not going to break if you accidentally hit the wrong keypad commands or anything. It's very sturdy. And you know, if you make a mistake and type in the wrong command, it's not a big deal.
I think the real strength, in some ways, at least one of the real strengths of this book, is that step by step, very clear, very straightforward approach that you take to using the Mac. And I'm just a little bit curious about what that was like to write the book in that way, because you do virtually every time explain to people what command they need to use and why. And you take them through the steps they'll need to follow to make this or that thing happen in Mail or Safari or TextEdit or the Finder. So curiosity, lots of patience, I would have to assume, to write something like this.
I learned a really good lesson back when, I'm not sure if it was Mountain Lion or Lion. I think it was Lion. I had decided that I wanted to get a Mac. And my daughter at that point had a MacBook Pro. And I said, you know, can I borrow it and work with it? And I found David Woodbridge's podcast. It was Mountain Lion, and he was doing some on Lion at the time. And what happened was I listened to them, and they were very step by step, and you could hear the Mac doing the different things. And I thought, this is the right way to teach it. You know, just say, well, you do this. You know, no, you've got to explain it very carefully, and in many cases, why you do this, and then go on to the next step. And I just remember his podcasts were so good and so well labeled, and he was so articulate in how you do things, that I thought when I wrote the book, I said, I need to write like that.
Well, I think it's really important that you have documented these steps in this book, because one of the things I believe that has been a problem for blind users and the Mac is a lack of consistent and well done documentation. And we've seen some improvement in that over the last year with some of the things that Fedora Outlier has done. And of course, John Panarese offers really great training on his site, Mac for the Blind. And there are a few things out there, but you really took the trouble and the effort to document step by step how to use these various applications on your Mac, and even how to get started if you've never taken a Mac out of the box before. And I just think that it's really important that we have this material. And I gather that it's a bit of a daunting task because you did it last year when we had Mavericks, and now you did it again with Yosemite. I'm assuming it's it's a lot to update, a lot to keep up with.
There was a lot to update, but you know, a lot of this stuff is still the same. There's a few things, like there's a text edit feature now that probably the only Yosemite feature I'm not happy about. If you hit the escape key when you're in text edit, what will happen is text edit will put in the word that it thinks should go next. A lot of it is the same, but there's a lot that's not. Like Spotlight Search is very powerful now and can do different things. iTunes is totally overhauled. And I know on Twitter and on email lists, people are like, oh my God, what did they do? And they took away the option to have iTunes read like the older versions of iTunes. You can't do that anymore. And this is horrible. New layout, new system. And it just takes a while to get used to these new things. And of course, there's the really cool stuff like using your arrow keys in Safari and handoff where you can work from your Mac to your iOS device and vice versa. So there was some that was the same, but a lot was new too. It's kind of a mix.
It is a mix. And, you know, I don't know how you feel about the new layout of iTunes, but after working with it for a while, honestly, I like it just as well or better than the old layout. It's just that it's different.
Right. I hate when I first saw it, I'm like, oh my God, what did they do? And now I have to learn this. But, you know, with a little bit of practice and just knowing what keystrokes to hit, you're okay. It really works okay.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, change is always hard, but like you said, if you take time to practice it, you know, after a while, I got to actually to the point where I like the new one better.
Yeah, I don't think there's much doubt that we have a better time of it with iTunes on the Mac than people on Windows do. It just works better on the Mac.
Infinitely better.
Oh, much better. Yeah, I have, like I said, I have my Windows machine at my music therapy job, and it is just... I bring my Mac to work with me sometimes because I have a MacBook Air, just so that it's easier to deal with iTunes and to navigate and move around or make changes. It is much easier on the Mac than on Windows.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about that a little bit because I bring my MacBook Pro to work with me every day, and I also have a Windows machine at work. But I've gotten to the point where I honestly would rather do my mail, deal with iTunes, browse the web, even write something in text edit on the Mac than I would on a Windows machine. And I don't know whether many people realize that there is that simplicity once you learn to do it and consistency that you just don't find between various applications on Windows machines. Do either of you all have any thoughts about that?
That's true. You know, I basically don't use the Mac for searching the web at work, but I do use it for iTunes and finding music. And yeah, the beauty of the Mac is within applications, a lot of this stuff is the same no matter what application you're using, and it's very consistent. And my Windows computer crashes all the time. My Mac does not. So I definitely like bringing the Mac with me. And I'll use it for other stuff. I'll use it for Amadeus Pro, which is an audio editing program, and other things. But, you know, the Mac is just so much easier. Now I find myself typing Mac commands on my Windows machine. And, of course,
I do that all the time at work.
the Windows machine goes nuts.
Some criticism of the Mac in the past certainly has been, when using it with VoiceOver, that the commands are too complicated. It takes two hands. It's too much to remember. But one of the things that you really do a great job of in your book is explain, as we said earlier, but we didn't touch on it too much, there are many, many ways to do everything on the Mac. And amazingly, you can do quite a bit of what you can do on the Mac using the trackpad, which is very similar in many respects to the way iOS works with the iOS devices. So, I mean, I would encourage people not to be too daunted by the fact that you think there's only one way to operate VoiceOver. And I was glad to see you highlight that a lot in this book.
I love the trackpad. I think it's a great way to go. And just one quick tip, if you are using QuickNav when you're working with your Mac and you find that your computer is going nuts in certain applications, make sure you have QuickNav turned off if you're not using it. And some applications will not work well with QuickNav. So before you panic and call tech support, that's the first thing I check.
Yeah, that's a major problem I have with QuickNav is forgetting to turn it off.
Yeah, I try to stay away from it for just that reason.
Are there things that, you know, maybe people are listening to this podcast, Janet, that are thinking about a Mac or that are maybe kind of sitting on the fence and have been wondering, should I delve into this? Do you think that your book could likely be of help to a person like that?
I think so. The book is, you can read it cover to cover if you want to. And if you're a new Mac user, what I suggest is you start at the beginning and, you know, go through a few pages a day. It you know, it won't be as frustrating and you'll get to go on from one thing to another. And you'll notice as you start working with the book that a lot of the commands are the same no matter the application. And so, yes, I think absolutely. If you want to, the book can also be read, you know, whatever chapter you want to work on. So it's really however you feel. But yeah, I think this book would be a good way to go. If you're still on the fence and you're not sure, get the book and read through the book first. You know, the worst thing is you're out $22 and then you decide, well, gee, you know, maybe I really don't want a Mac. But in all honesty, try the Mac, go to the, you know, even go to the Apple store. Find a computer and find a Mac and press Command F5 or ask one of the people at the Apple Store to show it to you and turn it on and just play with it or go back and listen to different podcasts and just play around. It's, you know, it's a big expense. It is more expensive than a Windows laptop. It's a lot more expensive than many Windows laptops, but it's a great investment. And once you get used to it, you'll not want to go back.
I would definitely agree with that. And if you do go to the Apple store and try out a Mac, take a pair of headphones or earbuds along with you to plug in so that you can hear voiceover, because those Apple stores can be pretty noisy. But the Apple store is very friendly to that idea of people coming in and just trying out the computers and iOS devices and the Apple Watch, I assume, very soon, which we're all excited about here. But I think that it really is a place you can go in. And fortunately, most people at Apple stores that I've had experience with are at least somewhat knowledgeable about VoiceOver, or there will be someone in the store who is somewhat knowledgeable about VoiceOver, and they'll help you get started enough to be able to see how you can browse a web page or how you can maybe take a look at a document or something like that. So there's no substitute for actually trying it out. And especially with this new MacBook that's come out, it'd be nice to be able to try some different models and see which one feels right to you, see which one might work for you.
We talked just the other day on our other podcast about the new MacBook. And even though I'm a seasoned Mac user, I want to go in and put my hands on it and try it first to make sure that all of the new changes are something that I'm okay with. So yeah, definitely go to the Apple store. They are so great about just letting you get in there and try things. I mean, I've tried iPads at the Apple store. I've tried different Macs at different points in my life. They're really, really awesome about that.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought too much, Janet, about the idea that maybe there would be people who would like to buy the book before investing in a Mac, but just as a resource to learn more about what the Mac can do. And the fact that you really go through and describe most of the major applications like email, web browsing, text editing, how to deal with files and folders in the Finder, things like that. You even touch on how the Yosemite now works with iCloud, things like that. I believe people probably could get a pretty good idea of what they're getting into just by reading the book. So that might be a good place to start, in spite of the fact there's a lot of information there. The book isn't all that long, really.
No, it's in Braille, it's two volumes, and no, it's not that long. But you'll get used to my writing style and how I explain things. The other thing you can do, if you have a friend that owns a Mac, that is either blind or sighted. Ask if you could just play on it for a little while. Just feel it out.
Yeah, because one of the beauties about the Mac, you can walk up to any Mac anywhere and just press Command F5 and start VoiceOver and play with it, but then do Command F5 to turn VoiceOver back off, and the Mac is right back where it was before you walked up to it. So you're not going to do any damage by playing with your friend's Mac a little bit.
That was actually my first exposure to VoiceOver was Tiger. And my roommate came in and was like, Ruby, I'm so excited. You can use the Mac now, because she was always an Apple fan. She hit Command F5. And if I had had the money back when I was 21 years old, I would have been able to get, I would have definitely wanted to get a Mac even then. But that was, that's just how easy it was and still is.
Yeah, it's one of the real advantages of having that screen reader built right into the operating system. And the other advantage, of course, if you do eventually get into a Mac, is that you can much more easily update and install your operating system yourself and keep things running smoothly. I find the maintenance and updating 1,000 times easier to do as a blind person on a Mac as opposed to on a Windows machine. And in fact, I don't even maintain any Windows machines anymore. I've just made my wife and my son, if I'm going to be responsible for helping with their computers, they're going to use a Mac. And that's just kind of how I feel about it these days.
I agree. I actually have a virtual machine on my Mac, just because for Access World, if I'm doing a web-based article, they want it done in Internet Explorer. The day they say you can use Safari is the day I dump my virtual machine. But it is, in fact, with updates, you can set your Mac to update automatically. You don't have to do a thing. With Windows updates, you have to, you have to select the update, and it's much, much easier on the Mac. You just set it and forget it, really.
What's your thought about this year's operating system, Yosemite, and accessibility just in general, given that you have now had the experience of very carefully going through it and doing the book on first Mavericks and now Yosemite? Do you think that accessibility is as good or better, or how would you rate Yosemite as far as how they've done with it at this point?
As far as accessibility, they've done a great job. The big thing that is better in Yosemite now, and this made a lot of people very happy, is Pages, which is their app for doing publishing. You can create flyers, you can create regular documents, but you can do all kinds of other fancy things on it. Has become a lot more accessible, and that has made very many people happy. The new features like handoff, you can go between your Mac and your iOS device or between iOS devices, that's accessible. iCloud is accessible. iTunes has really good accessibility. I think it's at least as good, if not better.
Yeah, I can't think of anything in Yosemite that really isn't accessible. And you taught me something about how accessible it is in the Finder to tag things and to use tabs in the Finder, which we didn't have before Yosemite. And all those things are just equally accessible across the board, as far as I can tell. I can't think of anything that there isn't a way to do it. And I don't know of any other operating system that can say that at this point.
Apple has done a great job, and it's obvious that they are very committed to accessibility.
Is there anything that maybe is unique about this version of the book that we haven't touched on that you can think of that you would like people to know?
I didn't touch on the notification center in the book on Mavericks, but I do on Yosemite, and it is very, very much like, if you're using an iOS device, it's very similar. And what Apple is trying to do is make the two interact better. So the things that jump out at me if somebody asks me about this book is, you've got handoff, you've got iCloud Drive, you've got the improved Spotlight search, you've got the Notification Center, you've got Safari, and that's just what I could think of off the top of my head. I know there's more. So all the new features that Yosemite has to offer are in there, as well as some little upgrades or some changes that may be very minor, but are things that you should know.
I do think the Notification Center is worth pointing out, because just a little while ago I had set myself a reminder that we were going to do this podcast at this time. And so the reminder popped up on my phone and on my Mac at the same time, right in Notification Center. And so it's really great if you're not with both devices at the same time. If you're only with one of them, you're going to get that notification either place. And they've really begun to integrate, I think, what's best in iOS with what's best on the Mac. And the two talk to each other back and forth so well. It's even possible now to do phone calls on your Mac as long as your iPhone is relatively nearby. And it's possible to hand off the starting of an email that you start on your phone or your Mac to the other device if you need to pick it up somewhere else. And all those things are covered in the book. And I thought you did a really nice job of not making these new features too complicated by not going into too much detail, but enough detail that people can really start using these things. And I'm finding all these features, especially in the current versions of Yosemite, there have been a couple of releases since the original release. The current version, these features, these handoff features, continuity features, really work quite well. I'm very pleased with how integrated this all is now.
I was amazed. My iPhone was downstairs, my Mac was upstairs, and all of this, you know, that was big enough distance. And sure enough, my Mac started making its ringtone to answer a call. So it was great. I didn't have to go running downstairs to get my iPhone. I was at my desk, just, you know, hit accept and go. You know, so it's a really nice feature.
And that's one thing that you just won't get from a Windows machine, is this kind of integration between devices. There are some real reasons to think seriously about the Mac if you have other Apple devices. And we're going to see that more and more with new devices that are coming along. And I think, honestly, the way that Apple is moving these days, even people who were concerned a year or two or three ago about Apple being such a closed system, it's honestly become much more open in terms of the capabilities that developers now have to make applications do things that Apple wouldn't allow two or three years ago, that it makes the in a lot of respects, in my mind at least, the Mac even more attractive than it used to be, because there's so much flexibility here now.
People talk about the expense of the Mac, but if you're going to buy a Mac, you're not going to pay for a screen reader. It's going to be in there. And Apple also has tech support people that are specifically trained how to help you in VoiceOver. So, you know, if you've got a problem with an application or something, you can call them and they'll walk you through it, and they will help you figure out what the problem is and how to fix it.
Part of what you're paying for, in addition to a really well-built, well-designed computer, is you're paying for that customer experience. And you just won't get that if you buy an HP or a Dell or one of the Windows machines. That the experience kind of ends, for the most part, in my experience, when you take it out of the box, you kind of got what you got, and you're on your own at that point, pretty much.
Right. Here you're not. And the tech support at Apple is actually very, very good.
It's nice that they are available by phone, by a disability support number. And of course, they're also available by appointment if you make an appointment and go into an Apple store. And so those options are there, and they're really worth considering, because most of us who buy these computers are going to keep them for 3, 4, 5 years, and you can have support as you go along through that process. And you can also expect one of these machines to hold its value and to last a long time. They really are well built and rugged, and so, not that I'm a Mac salesman, but these are things that I think are important for people to think about when you think about buying one of these machines. You actually are getting a lot for your money that you may not realize if you just give it a cursory glance or think about it on the surface. So I want us to take the time to have you come on and talk about the book. I'm very excited about what's in the book, about how you've gone about doing it. And I think it definitely fills a space that has been needed in the blind Mac, potential Mac using community. So thank you for what you've done. And I hope you keep it up.
Well, thank you very much. My pleasure, Allison. Happy birthday.
Oh, thanks.
All right. Well, that's kind of where we wanted to go with talking about Janet's new book. But do tell them, Janet, you mentioned it's from the National Braille Press, but tell people how they can get the book if they want to get a copy of it.
Sure, you can get the book by going to National Braille Press's website, which is www.nbp.org, and you can put Mac Yosemite in the search box, or you can call them at 800-548-7323.
Excellent. And Allison, if people want to get in touch with us, how might they go about doing that?
They might go about doing that by sending an email to techdoctor@dr-carter.com. That's techdoctor@dr-carter.com. We'd love to hear from you.
All right, you all. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Tech Doctor podcast. And as Janet said, happy birthday, Allison, and so long from the Tech Doctor.
And this is Allison Hartlett, the birthday girl, saying bye, everyone.